Judges chapter 3, and I'm going to move that thing. Makes me think. Dear Lord Jesus, as you touch on this. Oh God, that you do it, Lord. You be approved of it with your sweet spirit. Amen. All through the books of Judges, men do what is right in their own eyes. And everything that could draw them away, draws them away. And over it started in the chapter 3 there. The Lord said they failed to remove all sin. Thought it'd be all right to keep a little sin. And the Lord knew it'd bite them, and so He promised it would. And then we had Othniel lying for God there. That's Judges 3, verse 11. And the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. He was, I don't know how you say who's the first judge. I would say it was Moses, myself, and then Joshua, and then Othniel lying for God. Or maybe the judges started after they actually got into Canaan. I don't know how they rank who was first. But it says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. They didn't learn their lesson when the Lord had to rise up Othniel. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. He didn't just take his hand off his people, but he strengthened the enemy. And I looked up Eglon, and it had been on my heart for a little while, thinking about Ehud, and I began a study last night, stayed up late studying, and asked the Lord. I didn't get a hold of it good before I went to bed. Asked the Lord for it to show me. And I laid down after I'd studied and woke up, and it's on my heart. Eglon comes from the word egal. It's a male calf as frisking round, especially one nearly grown. So in other words, it's a calf that's almost a bull, but it still acts like a calf. It's as big as a bull, but it's frisky and playful as a calf. You see a lot of men like that. They want to be men when they're amongst boys, and they act like a boy when they're amongst men. They never want to grow up, and when pressure comes, they want to be a boy. Usually there's a decision made when they reach that stage. I remember a few years back when I was on deputation, I was down at a church, and this brother asked me to go to lunch with him, sweet brother, and I didn't know what all that entailed. And so I got in the car with him. He picked me up in a Hugger orange Camaro. I don't remember if it was 67, 8, or 9. It was one of them nice, pretty ones, and I didn't know what I was getting into. I was like, that's cool, riding a nice car, go out. And he went and bought my dinner, praise the Lord. And then he said, I got a lost friend I want you to meet. I said, okay. Next thing I know, that Hugger orange Camaro is parked next to a cow field. And I'm there in my dress shoes in the middle of the cow field while the lost man he wanted to win was turning bulls to steers. He wanted to get more money for their beef, so he was making them steers. And they were right about that age, and they had put them in that head gate where they couldn't fight, and they'd take care of them. And I was shocked that they didn't put up more fight than they did. But anyhow, here I am, and I'm thinking, what in the world? You can't make this up in the book. And I'm watching where I'm stepping. I'm in a cow field. Sure enough, we get back in the car, and I'm like, oh, I hope I didn't step in nothing. This Camaro ruined it. But anyhow, they're at that age. They have to be dealt with. This man's name means he's like a bull, but he don't have the grunt to back it up. So he's not a developed ruler, a hard-nosed man. And so the Lord has to strengthen him to oppress his people. You know you've messed up when God has to increase the might of an enemy to give you a whipping. And that's what he did here. It says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek and went and smote Israel. He got some backup and went down there and possessed the city of palm trees. I'll be honest with you, I have not studied that. Probably some good preaching that. I don't know where that city is or its significance. And it says, so the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. An unworthy nemesis. But because you won't walk right with the Lord, the Lord blesses him and puts you under submission of him. That's interesting to me. I think about some of the men that have been my bosses in the past, and you wonder, how'd I work for him? How is he the one signing the paycheck? Anybody ever have a boss like that? Huh? I know I can't say names, but a dear friend of mine, she's got way more academy than her boss. He's just got a high school degree, but somehow he signs her paycheck. And it ain't because of knowledge. It's just somehow he got there. I guess the hand of God, maybe, or whatever. So I know it's slow. We'll get moving. It'll be all right. And so here they are, and how on earth are we subservient to this man? And he's got back up here. And so the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years, a bull calf, an almost grown bull. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, they finally got to a position where they talked to the Lord. I wonder how many times he just has to, it's like slow cooking a frog. Just keep bumping the knob and he don't know he's getting cooked. I see that so much in our society. The folks don't even know they're under the chastisement to get their attention, and they'll just keep on a-going. And finally, I don't know what the breaking point was, but somebody called upon the Lord. And the Lord was sitting there 18 years waiting. That's another thing you'll find all through Judges. As soon as they begin to pray, as soon as they begin to refocus from the gods around them and look to the living God, as soon as they seek Him, He begins to move in their favor. It ain't changed none. It really ain't changed none. We get distracted. It's almost embarrassing how screens, these smartphones, keep up with screen time. I wish they'd make a smart Bible that kept up with Bible time. Somebody finally decided they was going to look at the Lord, God of heaven. It says, but when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, but when you find but in your Bible, it's a direction change. Finally, somebody changed directions. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer. Right here is the heart of my message. God cut my heart as I read this with deliverer. Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. Apparently, everybody wasn't praying because some of them thought they'd have more peace if they sent a gift. We'll show that it was not a trick. It wasn't a Trojan horse. They were trying to curry favor of this man. But right here, I want to look at Ehud, a deliverer. That word deliverer struck me. And I thought, I can't help but hear him a deliverer and think of the deliverer to end all deliverers. That word, it ain't from another word like a lot of them are. It's just one word for that deliverer right there. It's Yahshaw. It means to be open, wide, or free. It means by implication to be safe. Oh, it means to have attained salvation. This man was going to make a move and turn them free. What kind of man is this? Ehud. It means united. It's from another word that means to unify, to collect, as in gather your thoughts. He means to bring things together. That's what his name means. It makes me think of the Lord. He's going to represent Jesus, I believe, in our text right here, foreshadowing of what the Lord will do. And right here, it's only by Jesus. Jesus is the only one that every family of the world will be blessed. He's promised that all the way back at Abraham, that every family, there is no other salvation. There is none. I don't care what brand you are, what color you are, whether poor, rich, smart, dumb, it don't matter. There's no other way. The Lord's the only one that can gather the nations. Here he is. His name is to unify, to bring together. And it said, oh, glory to God, he's the son of Gerar. I said, okay, let's look at his daddy. What's he from? And as I was trying to study this, and it wasn't making much sense. Okay, this one's a bull, almost grown bull. And then this one here means united. Gera, it's a grain. I said, a grain. The root word from that is a kernel, a small weight. Okay, the root word that came from is a berry, ruminated. This is getting smaller. That word ruminated, that means to re-chew, to chew it over. Literally, what cattle do in the shade. They cough it up and chew it again. Yeah. The root word for that is ruminated. And I'm like, okay, so his dad is small, from ground up small. This man didn't come from much. I said, okay. He didn't come from much. Didn't look like much. And then the Bible tells us a Benjamite. Okay, I said, okay. Now we're looking at some might. Benjamin means son of my right hand. It literally, the right hand is the strong hand in the Bible. The son from the strong hand. I said, all right. Now we're getting somewhere. But the Lord says, no, look here. He says, a Benjamite. He's of the son of my right hand family. And then it says, a man left-handed. He don't even fit in his own tribe. Family known for being the right hand, the strong hand. And he said, turn that coffee around for me. And it says, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. Okay, this man don't look like much. And then it made me think of Isaiah 53. Well, I'm nervous. Y'all seem as nervous as I am, though. This is Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Boy, this man don't look like the arm of the Lord, does he? He says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. It makes me think of Judges right here. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Sounds more like Judges, don't it? It says, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It boiled down. They're going to send a gift to that wicked king. And they looked around, and I don't believe they picked him because he's a hero. I think they picked him because they thought we could stand to lose him. He don't look like much. He ain't from much. He's literally from ground to powder. That's his daddy. He's ground to nothing. He looked, said, we can stand to send him up that king. If the king don't like his gift, we'll be all right. How do I know that it wasn't a planned thing, what's fixing to happen? I'll show you. So he was, and by him the children of Israel, they decided there, sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But it's so sweet in the Bible. Direction change. Oh, Ehud wanted to live. God can do best if somebody wants to live. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges of a cubit length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. And when he made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. So he's the head of a group, and apparently it's such a big gift it takes people to bear it. So they deliver the gift, and I guess they're on their way back. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal. Best I remember, Gilgal means rolling away. Ain't that where they circumcised, cutting away the flesh? I guess, I don't know if maybe for a second he didn't have enough backbone, and they turned back and he seen Gilgal rolling away the flesh. Oh, and he turned back. That's what it says right here, don't it? But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he rose out of his seat. You know what that makes me think of? It makes me think, oh, glory to God, the old devil. He thought he had the world all to himself. There ain't even been a word from God for 400 years. And then one night over a shepherd's field, oh, the angels gathered. Oh, and our darling baby Jesus was born, a savior of mankind. Oh, and I guess the devil watched from afar. Oh, he had never seen him like this, you see. The devil knew who he was, but he had never seen him in the flesh. He had never seen him where he could get tired. He had never seen him like that. And then one day John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb, and baptized him. And the Father confirmed, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Oh, and straightway after that, the Spirit drove him in the wilderness, kind of like right here. Oh, King Eglon said, shut the door. It's just the two of them, evil king. Oh, oh, glory. The devil had our Lord alone. The angels would stand back. Oh, and he said, I ain't ever seen him this vulnerable. Ain't eaten 40 days. Oh, and he came at him time and time again. Here's this young man, Ehud. We know he's young. We can find out timeline there in a minute, but he's a young man, and this king's got him alone. And he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone, and Ehud said, oh, old devil got him alone. I have a message from God unto thee. Makes me think of Jesus said, it is written. Oh, oh, and he's got a message from the Lord. And he arose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. Oh, and the haft also went in after the blade. And the fat closed upon the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Our Lord, devil ain't ever seen him that vulnerable. They beat him to a pulp. Oh, but he said, it is finished. It only took a one time. There was no going back. That dagger went in, got to the wide part, and went on in. There was no getting it back. Oh! You say, how does that remind you of the Lord? Well, it says over in Hebrews chapter 9. Y'all might think I'm reaching. That's a stretch, preacher. I don't know, but the Holy Ghost sure does seem to like it. If I didn't know book, I don't know if anybody on this planet agrees with me, but boy, the Holy Ghost seems like it. I can't get my fingers to work. There we go. Hebrews 9. There's no going back. It says in Hebrews 9, verse 26, it says, "For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Oh, it only had to be done once. He only had to stab him the once. And he did it such a way he could not undo it. Oh, it can't be undone. On that day at Calvary, the old devil received a death wound. Oh, it tells us. Glory to God. It tells us over in 1 John 3:8. It says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." He sunk that knife up in him. Oh, he went to the top to undo it all. Oh, our Jesus didn't start at the bottom. On that day at Calvary, do you realize what was accomplished at Calvary? The devil was dealt with. The sin is responsible for every problem in your life. It started with Adam's transgression. And at Calvary, it was all done away with. There's coming a day. There'll be no tear. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no aging. All that sin was done away with at Calvary.
Amen.
We find the dirt come out. If I had a name for the message, I don't know if it's Bible way approved, but I'd call it Ehud struck mud. And Ehud, it says, and the dirt come out. And Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. You realize he left the dirt with him when he killed that enemy. He left, it don't talk about no dirt being on him. He left the corruption with him. When the Lord dealt with the devil, it did away with all that corruption. Oh, and he says he locked the door on him. I don't know if he took a key or not. I don't know if he had more than one key or not. But when my Lord dealt with the devil, he took the key. Oh, there's no undoing it. There's no getting in there and changing anything. That devil is on life support and the plug will be pulled. Oh, he took the key with him. Man, our Lord did. Ehud may have, I don't know. He locked the door. It says, and Ehud went forth to the porch, shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked him. When he was gone out, his servants came. And when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, "Surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber." Now, this next part might be uncomfortable. I've read different things. Some men think in the Bible when it says covered his feet, it means they think he's taking a nap, pull a blanket up on him. I don't see it that way. I think it means other men, other commentaries think he's going to the bathroom. Number two, he pulls down, covers his feet. The reason I believe that backed up with our Bible right here, let's look at what the men do. They said he's covering his feet in the summer parlor. And they tarried. This is why I think it means that. And they tarried till they were ashamed. And behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened him. And behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. How strange. I believe that means they thought he was going to the restroom. They could smell the dirt. We're talking strong, rich dirt. You know what I'm talking about. Don't make me get no more than that. He done. I don't know if it come out of the wound or if when he died, his muscles relaxed. But the dirt came out, God said. You say, preacher, that's vulgar. Holy Ghost didn't think it was vulgar when he wrote it. Holy Ghost wanted us to know the dirt come out. And then he wanted us to know that they sat outside thinking he's covering his feet until they were ashamed. I ain't never heard nobody take this long. And who wants to be that guy that knocks on the door and says, King Eglon, you doing okay? Who wants to be that guy? That might cost you head. I don't know how he... I mean, that probably happens a lot to Brother Mr. Biden. Mr. President, you okay? And I guarantee every one of them is afraid they're going to be the ones that find him like Mr. Eglon.
Yeah.
He's fragile. You get old and you die. That shouldn't shock none of us.
Right.
And he's old.
Yeah.
I ain't wishing it on him. Wasn't there. I'm just saying, would it shock you if you saw that headline tomorrow? Fell down a flight of stairs, broke his neck. Well, odds keep going up.
Yeah.
I normally stay away from politics. I'm just saying, nobody wants to be that servant. And they grew ashamed. Because they're like, I don't know if they're playing rock, paper, scissors to see who would check on him or what. But after he was dealt with, it tells us, and they tarried till they were ashamed, and behold, they opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore, they took a key and opened them. I'm glad that when the Lord dealt with the devil, ain't nobody got a spare key. Ain't nobody going to go in there and undo nothing. There's no mouth-to-mouth going to help that devil. He's doomed. And he had escaped while they tarried and passed beyond the quarries. Oh, and escaped unto Syriath. I can't say that word. Syriath, maybe is how you say it. I don't know. But I found that's the only time it's in the Bible, according to Mr. Strong. And it means roughness. The root word is for the she-goat. So he went somewhere no other man could go. Only time in the Bible you find a man go there. And it means rough. It's not made for men. It's made for animals. Normal men wouldn't go there. Oh, but after he conquered the enemy, he went there. Y'all may not see it. You might think I'm crazy. That's fine. Leave me alone. I'll be on a plane in the morning. And it says, and Ehud escaped while they tarried and passed beyond the quarries and escaped unto Syriath. You could almost argue that the quarries, that's a hole in the ground. You could almost argue it's a tomb. And it came to pass when he was come, he coming back, that he blew a trumpet. He's coming back with a trumpet. Is this helping anybody? He's going to blow a trumpet when he comes back. And the mountain of Ephraim and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount. And he before them. He is coming back with a trumpet. And then there's another time he's coming back. And everybody coming with him and he before them. Is this helping anybody? Daddy likes watching horse shows, and I was watching him watch YouTube, watch this big old draft horse, this guy training them. And I said, boy, I feel sorry if I don't like horses, because if they're saved, they're going to have one. They're going to have to get over it. There won't be no mean horses in heaven. It'll be all right. Oh, glory. He's coming back with a trumpet. Oh, and him coming down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him and took the fjords of the Jordan toward Moab and suffered not a man to pass. In those 18 years, that Moabite army had grew strong, and they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men all lusty. That means they've had plenty to eat and plenty of work. And all men of valor, and their escape, not a man. It makes me think, they say when them rivers drop, them big devils will come out. They've been locked away, big strong devils. But they ain't no trouble for him. Oh, I was listening to a preacher the other day, and it's talking about the devil's going to be thrown in the pit, the bottomless pit, for 1,000 years. And he said that's the longest sentence ever. But then I got to thinking, what about all them that's already down there? They've been in there longer than him. There's going to be some foul boogers roll up out there. I'm glad I ain't going to be here. Oh, but the Lord's going to deal with them. And their escape, not a man. All of them's going to be dealt with. See, so Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel. And the land had rest 80 years. So this is all the Lord did this with this young man. And they had rest 80 years. That's 80 years they had rest. Now we're back to the practical, yes, it was a real man. I do believe it's prophetic. I hope you see enough in there to agree with me. Oh, but right here is practical. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. So after he killed this enemy, and he blowed that trumpet, they realized he'd cut off the source of their enemy, of their troubles, and they all joined him. And, oh, it makes me think of Hebrews 2. Our blessed Lord, it says, I can get my fingers to work. Maybe it says in Hebrews 2, here we go. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. After he's whooped the source of your troubles, how could you not get on board with him? How could you not get on board with him? He blowed that trumpet, and I don't know if they'd already heard that king was dead or not, and here he come victorious. Oh, I feel sorry for the man that didn't get on board. I guarantee you them that have been praying got on board. Their prayers were answered, and they heard a trumpet one day, and here he come. He wasn't likely, nor was our Jesus likely when they seen him. He didn't look like much. Oh, but he was everything. Oh, how can we not get on board? The whole nation here got behind him. Praise the Lord for that. Oh, it helps me. We already know that he was a great deliverer. He gave them up a deliverer. Deliverer is the one that brings salvation. They didn't expect deliverance from him, but they didn't expect deliverance from their Jesus either. But he brought it to every man, everybody. Tasted death for every man. And so now, these have got on board with him, and peace came in the country. And it says, and Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years, 80 years. And in that 80 years, they got on board and got behind that man. Another enemy would rise up and try and pull him away. And it says, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. Now take note of the first verse of chapter 4. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. So that tells me they had, remember, Othniel was 40 years. When Barak would wage war and Miss JL would kill Sisera, they'd get another 40 years. But right here they got 80. Boy, that's a lot of rest. 80 years of rest. And the reason is because I got two judges in one span. One didn't die and they veer. Ehud raised up, and in that time, I don't know how old he was, when the Philistines come up. But the Philistines represent, it means rolled in the dirt. Rolling hills is what their name means. Literally rolled in the dirt. Dirty people with dirty gods. And they came up to sway them. Oh, and there was another man, old Shamgar, the son of Anath. I couldn't find the meaning of Shamgar, but I found the meaning of his dad's name, what he come out of. Anath means to see, to perceive, to take it in. That means that he come out of a man, that saw it was good to follow after Ehud. The unity was good. Remember, his name means unity. He saw that unity was good, directed following the Lord. And he saw something coming up that was going to pull him away. Shamgar, the son of Ehud, he took that ox goad. An ox goad's a peculiar tool. Oh, Brother Jeff preaches on it a lot. He says, keep it straight and keep it clean. An ox goad, you take one end. If the plow starts building up, you clean it. A plow can bog you down. And when them oxen get tired and they don't want to go, you take that pointy end and you drive it in the rear, and they'll get another gear. This man came along with that tool. He wasn't going to let them bear left nor right. He saw the direction they were going was good. And this second man, he kept them going straight, and they got double the rest, that man. There's your application. Don't let the world come in and ruin what you got. I don't know if you noticed it or not, they're at the gates. We need how do you keep from swaying? Keep it straight and keep it clean. Take that ox goad. Don't let this world build up on you. That dirt rolling over that plow. And when you start slowing down, don't stop. Don't stop. You stop, you won't get no work done. Take that pointy end and just drive it. Does this help anybody tonight? Ehud. Notice he locked that dirt in with him. All that is locked in with the devil. We're dealing with it now. We're made out of dirt. There's going to come a day and I'm going to be made out of something else. I don't know what my new body looks like, but it's like his. He got him alone. That weak young man. Left-handed, didn't even have a strong arm. You know, our precious Lord, the devil seen him there, fasted for 40 days. He'd never seen him that weak before, and he's never been that weak since. Revelation chapter 1's done happened. He don't look like that no more. He can't be bruised no more. He can't bleed no more. He can't die no more. His feet are brazen. His eyes are flame. And when we see him, if we're like we are now, we fall down dead as John did. I don't really know how to land it. But this I know. I'll give you this. It helps my men. I have a lot of trouble finding helps for them. Back to Isaiah 53. If you will serve the Lord, you will have trials, you will have tribulations. As a matter of fact, it says in Judges 5 that Miss Deborah is writing it down. And she said in the days of Shamgar and in the days of Jael, the roads were empty because they were dangerous, yet they had rest. Ain't that interesting? Is that interesting to anybody? You won't find Shamgar very often in your Bible, but you'll find that. But in Isaiah 53, if you serve the Lord, you will suffer. That's just because nobody volunteers for it. But you know He picks you for it. He picks you for it. Recently I had a man lose his fiance. He's planning on marrying her when he got out. And it just tore him up. And I ain't never been in that situation and didn't know what to say. And he was complaining about the other chaplain telling him about Job. And I didn't know what to say. And I remembered this. This is one I give men when they grieve. Back over there where he's describing him, that he was an esteemed. But it tells us, I stopped in Psalms 53, said Isaiah 53. It tells us he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. We know he knows what hurt feels like, and acquainted with grief. He's no stranger to grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, but we esteemed him not. Surely, that word surely means without a doubt. Surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I told that man that day, I said, I don't know, but he does. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That tells me that when he went to that tree, he carried every hurt we've ever known. He carried every hurt any man ever knew. He has carried our sorrows. Sorrows and sins, sorrows and griefs began with sin, began with the curse on Adam, and he undone that at Calvary. To undo it, he had to carry it all. And so I told the man, I don't know what it feels like, I don't know what to tell you, but I know the Lord knows. And he shares that with you. And he'll share that sorrow, and he done carried it. And so I tell my men, I don't care if it's divorce, I don't care if it's a hurt feelings from a woman, I don't care if it's cheating on you, I don't care. He has felt every hurt, physical, spiritual. He's felt every one. And so he can help you. And I said, go to him. He shared it with you. I don't know what to tell you. I can't just say, get over it. You can't tell a man that. They don't go well. I just say, the Lord knows, and he knows the exact hurt, even if you feel like nobody else on this planet does. He carried it, and he dealt with it. And if you'll trust him, there'll come a day you won't remember it. That's our Lord, and I want to follow him. I'm glad I'll be with him when he sounds a trumpet. Unusual message, I know. But hopefully it'll help you.